Now, what I'm going to share with you this evening, I intend to make it short. Voice of unbelief. I did it here and there for the past few services, and not bad. But what I'm going to share will be something that will help you apply what you have heard from the Lord for the past few sessions, past few Sundays, past few midweek services. The beginning of this year, God began to speak to us about the Asian tsunami, what Jesus said about the Asian tsunami. So I won't repeat myself. For the friends that we have here who have not heard that message, we encourage you to get the tape, all right? Because Jesus did talk about the Asian tsunami. Amen. And we talk about what the devil was after, all right? Because of this tsunami, he has brought fear into the hearts of many people. And the posture we are to adopt this year, the Lord spoke to us for New Creation Church. Every church will have to hear God for their specific church, because you see, if it's redundant for Jesus to speak seven different messages to seven different churches, if only one message avails for all seven. So I believe that since you are a New Creation Church member, it's important you hear what God is saying to this church. And this year God is saying, adopt the posture of don't worry about tomorrow, live the let go life and the bochup life. Amen. Amen. Live the carefree, worry-free, anxiety-free life. The life that he said that he lived. Amen. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Jesus preached about this in Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He's talking about things, talking about daily necessities, talking about food, clothing, about practical things. He's not talking about spiritual realm, although this whole thing is spiritual. He's talking about physical things, because there are those who would like to change this whole thing into spiritual. It's not spiritual, though it is spiritual. He's talking about things, what you wear, what you eat, amen? But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Notice that these things, food, clothing, your daily necessities, will be added. How many things that you need in life will be added? All these things. Say all. Say things. Say added. Now shout the word added three times. He didn't just say, these things will be given to you. He says, if you do this thing, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Not just given, added. Given means you give, all right, the bare minimum. But when you add, it's greater in quality and quantity. Amen. Amen. These things, if you need to get married, and you feel that you are at a critical stage in your life, you need a husband or you need a wife, all these things shall be added to you in terms of greater in quality, not greater in quantity. You just need one husband, one wife. But if it's money, all right, if it's a clothing or whatever, it'll be good to have it greater in quantity. Amen. So whatever it is, it's under the word added. These things will be added to you. Now there are those who will change the whole thing, and they say that, well, if you seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, well, all these things, you know, they are not important. He did not say that. Jesus did not say these things are not important. Neither did Jesus say, when you seek God first, you will lose things. He didn't even say, when you seek God first, all right, all these things will be given to you. He didn't say that. He says all these things will be added. Let's look again. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Amen. Added to you. That means you'll have it either greater in quantity or greater in quality. Amen. I say amen. Amen. Now the thing is this. We need to keep first things first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Say first. Keep first things first. The focus must be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He's not talking about your holiness or your righteousness. He's talking about His gift of righteousness. And here is where this verse has been so misquoted, misapplied. You hear people saying to seek God's kingdom first means to go out there in mission field and to go full time. No, that important as that all those things are, and we are involved in mission work. In fact, this tsunami thing for us is a mission work. Amen. We're not just giving them a fish. We are giving them Jesus Christ for a lifetime and beyond. Amen. So we know how important missions is. We are blessed to be a blessing, but this is not what Jesus is talking about. He's not telling you, all right, to seek God's kingdom first is to get involved in missions. To get involved in missions is to expand the kingdom, not to seek first the kingdom. To seek first the kingdom, we have to define what's the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 14, the kingdom of God is defined like this. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, what is the kingdom of God? It's inside you. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is inside you. Amen. That means every single day, make sure your inside is flowing with peace and joy. Make sure, number one, you seek God's kingdom to have the inside you the peace and joy flowing, plus seek His righteousness. Seek every day to have that righteousness consciousness in your life. All right, these are the only things you have to focus on. And what's going to happen? All the things you desire will be added to you. Today you might desire a new house. You might desire a better a dwelling place for your growing family. God understands that. That wasn't your desire last year, but it's your desire this year. Well, whatever it is, all these things will be added. If you keep your inside flowing in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, if you keep your inside focused that you are the righteousness of God in Christ and keep yourself happy in the Lord, peace and joy flowing in the Holy Spirit. Apostle Prince, it sounds so simple. That's what the Lord said. That's how you seek first the kingdom of God. I think it was George Miller. Yeah, it is George Miller. I have his diary, by the way, not his original diary, but I got his diary from England, a copy of it. And his diary, he wrote down one of the most life-transforming statements that he ever wrote a number of years ago. It changed my life. He said this, it pleased the Lord. In fact, I almost said word for word. He says, it pleased the Lord to teach me a truth that I've learned to my great advantage and benefit years ago. Now, George Miller, let me introduce him. He's the man in the 19th century, in the 1800s. He built many orphanages with the limited resources he had for tens of thousands of orphans. All right. In those days, you know, you can't just do things like that without the great supply. But, you know, his eyes was on the Lord. And he said the Lord taught him this lesson. This verse, seek God's kingdom first. He says that the Lord taught me this great lesson, which I've never forgotten all these years. He said that my primary objective every single day is to keep my soul happy in the Lord. Whatever Bible study I do, whatever I do, he says, when I study the scriptures, I seek to read it until my inner man is happy in the Lord. Are you listening, people? Now, some of you are readers. Some of you are hearers. In other words, some people love to read, and some people love to listen. Whatever it takes, some of you love to take a guitar and sing to the Lord. Whatever it takes to keep your inside flowing in peace and joy, do it. Predominantly, it is hearing the words of God through a sermon or reading the scriptures. Now I want to say something about reading the scriptures. Many people, all right, are not able to read the scriptures directly, especially young converts. And some leaders need to understand this, because sometimes I see leaders telling young converts, you know, spend more time in the Bible, read the Bible. It sounds okay, but you forgot where you came from. You didn't grow by reading the Bible per se. You listen to Bible teachers teaching the Bible on cassette tape. You listen to good Bible teachers or pastors teaching you the Bible. Then later on, when you're hungrier, you went to the Bible and got more for yourself. But then you didn't go to the Bible directly. And now we are telling young ones to go to the Bible directly. No, church, God gave pastors, God gave teachers, all right, to teach us the Bible, to break down the Bible to bite-sized portions. Amen. So when you listen to God's word on cassette tape or DVD or MP3, whatever, you are actually seeking the kingdom of God first. Because the more you listen, all right, the more peace and joy flows on the inside of you. Amen. And the Bible says when that thing happens, listen, all these things you desire will be added to you. Now, you know, I really think the devil, one of his most successful weapons against a believer is this: distraction. If he can distract you from the most important thing, from first things first, he's got you. What he does is like this. Look up here. He starts a little fire in your life. It could be financial problem, all right? And you're trying to beat out the fire. Then he starts another fire behind you. When this fire is about to go out, you turn around and you try to put out this fire, all right? Before this fire goes out, he starts another fire here. And you're always going in circles trying to beat out the fire. Amen. And he's got you distracted on a little merry-go-round. And all the while, you're not focused on that receiving, hearing mode, seeking first the kingdom of God, keeping your insight flowing in peace and joy. You are too busy trying to put out the fires. Amen. You know, I shared the other day with Gina and Louis that there are believers today who are, it grieves me when I hear them always claiming, you know, except when you hear them using their faith saying, I claim that fridge, I claim that fridge in Jesus' name. I claim that latest model in Jesus' name. I claim that fridge in Jesus' name. I claim that car. I claim that car in Jesus' name. I claim that car in Jesus' name. I claim that house. That house is mine in Jesus. I claim that. I use my faith. I claim that house in Jesus' name. I claim that four numbers. I claim a lucky price. I claim it in Jesus' name. My lucky draw shall go in Jesus' name. Amen. POSB will draw my number. Hallelujah. That car is mine in Jesus' name. I claim it in Jesus' name. You know, when I look at that kind of thing, it makes me feel sad because honestly, what I have today, I didn't claim. Some things I prayed, some things I never prayed. They were added to me. As I pursued the Lord, they were added to me. Amen. It's called the law of serendipity. Amen. Yes, I can use bombastic language. I remember one time I told Wendy, I said, darling, I said, you know, I think the church really think that I cannot speak good English. Because I would deliberately speak broken English sometimes, you know. And they really think I cannot. I think this coming week, I'm going to preach in Queen's English. You know. And I can. Wendy will tell you that. I mean, you cannot spend time with my wife and not have your English improved down through the years. You know what I'm saying? Plus the fact that I scored very well for my literature and my GP and things like that in school. So my English is not atrocious. Okay? So I felt like one day I want to preach in all real bombastic English. But then when the day came, the Lord spoke to me. All right? Again, I didn't call you to feed giraffes. I call you to feed my sheep. You don't preach up there when no one can understand. You preach down here, even those up there can understand. Amen. So I know that I'm not out to impress. I'm out to feed. Amen. But here is an example of a bombastic language. Serendipity. What is the meaning of serendipity? Very simple. Serendipity is defined like this: to chance upon fortunate discoveries without pursuit of them. All right? To chance upon fortunate discoveries without being in pursuit of them. Now, for example, you're on your way to a tailor and you're thinking, contemplating on making a suit for yourself. And you're thinking, what sort of suit do you want? From which category? What pricing and all that? You said, well, I have enough money only for an average, you know, suit. So as you're going towards a tailor, you found a stack of notes, money, on the floor. Now, church, every time you find money with the wallet and a dress, please give it back. Amen. Tell your neighbor, is talking about you again. All right. But if there's no one around, the money is there on the floor and no one is looking for it, you can pick it up. Now, that's a good example of what? As you pick it up, you realize, hey, the amount is just what you need for that suit that you're looking for. That more expensive suit. Amen. So here you are, you're on your way, contemplating about buying the more expensive suit, but you can't afford it. And then you find money. And that money is a picture of, finding that money is a picture of serendipity, without looking for it. And Jesus showing us that as we seek to keep our insight flowing with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, the law of serendipity will happen. The things that you want will come after you. It will want you. Amen. It's amazing. I find that sometimes when I focus on something, I run for that thing runs from me. But the more I'm focused on Jesus, the more I'm focused on a receiving, hearing mode, to keep my insight flowing in peace and joy, I find the things I want is added unto me. And sometimes God adds things to me that I'm ashamed of. Like, you know, it's things that normally a person will not get. I mean, I've been blessed left, right, center. And this has been happening since I found this key, this principle. I've been pushing this down through the years. And this is how you come to that carefree, bold up, the let go life. Amen. Every day your priority is to be in that receiving, hearing mode to keep your insight flowing in peace and joy. Can I have a good amen? You know, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water to refresh and nourish others. Leaders, listen carefully. Jesus did not say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me, the fountainhead of all blessings, and draw. He didn't say, come unto me and draw. You can draw water for other people and still die of thirst. There are people who listen and receive a sermon, or listen to a sermon or study, just to get food to preach or teach. Amen. I want all my leaders to listen. But the way we refresh others is like this. Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Alright? The fountain, the source of all blessings, let him come unto me and drink. Drink is a personal act to quench a personal thirst. And yet when you quench your own thirst, you drink from the Lord for yourself, not for others. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water to bless others. Amen. Make sure you drink. If you are asked upon to share in your Christian club, in your workplace or whatever, amen, take up the challenge. Then go to Jesus, the fountainhead of all blessings, and say, Lord, I come to you, and just tell me what's the message, Lord. And most of the time, he will speak to you in terms of your own nourishment. As you enjoy the Lord, whatever you're drinking from the Lord, it will translate into blessings for others. Amen. Even blessing others doesn't come by focusing on blessing others. It comes on you spending that hearing, receiving mode from Jesus, and then it translates into food for others. You see, a mother, a ewe lamb, that is pregnant or has young, don't have to worry about feeding her young as long as she's eating grass. The more she eats, the more she eats, the more she eats, there'll be plenty of milk for those little ones. But if she goes around and don't eat, achai, back, are you okay? No, achai, abing, I'm like, okay, no, abing, oh, don't go there, don't go there, don't eat there, don't eat there, I'm so worried for you, back, back, and don't eat, she'll die. Not only she'll die, the rest will die also. Amen. It's important that she's eating all the time. It's important that you are eating all the time. You want to be a blessing to your family, even an unconscious blessing to those around, and people are just refreshed in your presence, then be one that is eating, receiving from Jesus all the time. Amen. I said this before and I'll say this again. It's like the parable of the cat that was stole. His happiness is in his tail. So what does he do? He tried to catch his happiness. Try to get his happiness. The more he chases his happiness, the more the tail goes away from him. The more he chases, the more it goes away from him. And it's going in circles, making no progress. And that's what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And you know how long it took them to learn a lesson? 40 years! And there are people, amazing perseverance. They can go, be going round and round. They have an all-rounded ministry. Go round and round and round and round and round and still not learn. That the more they try, the more they pursue, the more it eludes them. And they're still pursuing. So one day, the poor cat gets very tired. And they say, bocha, blah, give up. Blah. He walks away, and now the tail follows him. The happiness follows him everywhere he goes. He cannot escape it. Amen. It's the same principle. Church, if you are sick, don't pursue healing, pursue the healer. Listen to the healer. Amen. If you are broke, don't pursue finances, pursue the financier, the provider. Listen to him. Spend time in his word. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You know, I shared before, some time ago, about how I loved to go to circus when I was a young boy. And where I live, a circus would come once a while. And back in those days, even Singapore, remember they had circus in those open grounds? One of my favorite programs of the whole circus act was the lion when it comes out. And the lion tamer always has a Indiana Jones whip, isn't it? And then the other hand, he has what? A stool. A four-legged stool. I never could understand what in the world is a stool for. So I thought maybe the stool is for him and he gets tired, he sits down. But he's holding the stool in one hand and a whip in the other. And then later on I found out, and this is official by the way, that the stool is necessary. Because the lion is so powerful, his whip alone. Now understand what the whip is for. The whip is to discipline the lion. But actually the whip cannot stop the lion if the lion is determined. So the whole purpose of the four-legged stool is this. A lion can only focus on one thing at one time. Like some of you. Amen? One thing at one time. Alright? But what happened is this. When he wants the lion to obey him, he does not want the lion to focus on him or get mad at him. So he takes the stool and points the four legs towards the lion. You've seen it on TV before, you know, how the lion would use its paw and touch the leg of the stool, isn't it? And the lion is a bit distracted by the four legs. You look at this leg, then look at this leg, and then look at this leg, and then look at this leg. And people think, wow, I can sit down quietly, and you know, and even say hi. You know? And but if ever, you see, all the power of the lion comes to nothing by distracting him. Got it, child of God? Invested with the authority of Jesus, having the power to bind and loose. All your power comes to nothing if the devil can distract you. Amen? But if ever the lion forget the stool and he's hungry and the lion tamer is all-rounded and he's focused on the lion tamer, that's the end. And it's happened before also. Amen? How lions can attack its trainers. Amen? So, the whole purpose of the devil's game is to distract you. So he burns a little fire here, and he wants you to use your faith, even confess God's word and all that, to put down that fire. Then he starts here, you put down that fire. Then you put down the fire. But if Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added, that means he does not want us to focus on these things. Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Pastor Prince, you make it too simple. No, nope, not me, Jesus. The things of God are simple, yes, but they are most powerful. They are most practical. God is not like man, very complicated. God is very simple, but very powerful. And God says, don't worry, because the only thing you have to care about in life is to make sure your inside is flowing in peace and joy. In the first service, right over here, there was a care group leader whom I had the pleasure of fellowshipping with a number of times, sitting right over here in the first service. And in the first service, we were talking in front of everybody, sharing about his own life, what happened. Last week, I spent some time with him, and he shared about, you know, he's that brother. Today, he's a care leader, but he was that brother that we shared some time ago. 2 years ago. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago. He was suicidal, having problems with panic attacks, anxiety attacks, cannot sleep at night. He has to be on tranquilizers, 6 tranquilizers. All right, some of you know him from the church camp sharing, and also he shared his testimony in the Solid Rock magazine. He has been on 6 tranquilizers. Even after he takes the tranquilizers, he can only sleep 3 hours every day. And because he is attacked with panic attacks, all right, he cannot go to work. The wife goes to work. And he's so fearful, so afraid. Plus the fact that all those tranquilizers is causing a lot of problems in his sinus. He has sinus problem, and sinus cause, the antibiotics cause a reaction in his tummy and things like that. And one day he heard me preach about praying the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. He prayed in tongues and in the shower, and he felt joy for the first time. He said peace. He felt peace. Tremendous peace. I think God gave him a supernatural peace to encourage him to continue the experience. Alright, so the more he prayed in tongues, and he said this, every day I began to listen to the sermon. He told me this. He began to hear my sermon. Now, there's nothing magical about my sermon, but it is anointed. If I say it's not, I'll be lying to you. Alright, I'm not the only one with anointed sermons. Alright, you can listen to other sermons by Pastor Joshua, Jerry Savelle, Kenneth Copeland, who will be here next month, by the way, and we are supporting that meeting in the indoor stadium. And there are other ministries. But, you know, he said he was listening to my sermon, and he was listening to it every single day and praying in tongues. Cut a long story short, right now, when you look at him, many things has happened since more than a year has passed. And he says this, God has blessed every area of his life. When you talk to him today, you can hardly believe he's the same person. He's not on any medication. He sleeps well at night, wakes up fresh, still listens to the sermons every day. He has all my sermons on MP3, listens to one sermon every day. And I ask him, how in the world do you listen to my sermon? Alright? One sermon a day. Because I know it's quite lengthy. Today, one, I'll make it short, okay? But you all know, I said, how do you know? He said, very simple. On my way to work, half an hour journey, driving, I listen, one half. On way back, I listen. In between, I listen here and there. Or if I cannot finish at night, I listen to it. I mean, the guy runs with it. Notice that he's listening, listening, listening in a receiving mode from Jesus. Like I said, some people are readers, some people are hearers. For him, he's a hearer. He's more of a hearer. And he prays in tongues and and one good thing after another happened to him. One good thing after another. And one area last year was the area of prosperity, and it seems like he's not hitting that prosperity. So he told the Lord about it. And again, the Lord told him this, spend more time with me. So he told his wife about it. Cut a long story short, all right? He and his wife have gone to Israel and come back, both of them. And that was their second honeymoon in all these years. Not only that, just recently, even as I speak right now, they are in the first few days of opening their own shop, their own business, and their business has the potential of bringing in, listen carefully, a five-figure salary. All right? Not bad for a guy who was suffering from panic attacks. Now, he's a leader in his own right. He has a care group, and he just prayed for someone who had a physical problem, verified by the doctors. He prayed for the guy went back to the doctor, went back, and did all the scan, and completely well. Clean bill of health. Today when you talk to him, he's so unassuming, so unpretentious, giving Jesus all the glory, and yet when he talk, he's so calm, cool, collected, you can hardly believe it's the same guy. And what's his secret? He's always keeping his inside peace and joy. Now he's so calm, you hardly believe this guy got panic attacks. Even suicidal, 2 years ago. Amen! And he's an amazing leader. And now rivers of living water is coming out of him. As I talked to him, I myself was refreshed. Amen. So church, I don't care what you are in right now. The simple message today is this. Stop trying to put out all the fires. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? All right? You got to fight. Sometimes it takes a fight. I don't care even the fires are burning. I'm going to spend time listening to your word, Lord. Amen. You got to fight to spend time. I'll fight to spend time. And I'm telling you, even that goes for me. Amen. In fact, there'll come a time, something you listen to an anointed message, you're in a car, you're listening to an anointed message, and you have reached your destination, you're gonna go out. You go around in circles again, to make sure that you have finished that good point. Hallelujah. Amen. I have sent my wife to the shopping center before, whatever, and I come to a good part in the sermon, and I tell my wife, hey, darling, you go first, you go first. So, why? I wanna listen to it. Now I'll drive around, I'll see you later. I'll drive around and round and round and round. Amen. It's so good. Amen. You gotta fight for things like that, church. Because there are great time stealers and also detractors and distractions that will come your way this year. You gotta fight to listen to God. Well, Pastor Prince, it's easy for you to say, you know. How can we sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His word when you got three mouths to feed now, three little mouths to feed now? And then you got this giant who come back after 5:30 and always ask for this, ask for that. You know, it's very easy, Pastor Prince, for you to say. Well, I can tell you stories of ladies in our church who have amazing breakthroughs just spending time listening to God's word. In fact, listen carefully, you can have the tape going on all the time if you're a homemaker. Amen. I say amen. Amen. One sister, amen, right under my nose, shared about how, where she had she's in sales, and she has salespeople under her, and she trains them as well, but she says that how she was not making that breakthrough. And just a few days ago, she told me this. She said, Pastor Prince, that particular message where you preach about pursuing Jesus and not worry about the results and all that, that month I did that, that was the biggest month for me ever. Amen. Right, sister? Amazing. To me, I rejoice in all these things. But, you know, people find it hard to believe. To forget all these things, will it resolve by themselves? No, it's not resolved by themselves. It all depends on who you spend time with. Amen. When you spend time with the king in his bedchamber, all right, you come out of there with the seed for your miracle. Because of your communion with the Lord. Spirit and spirit union always produces. Always. Amen. You will come out with the answer. You will come out with a miracle. You might not see the miracle yet, but you are pregnant. In due course, you will see it manifest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Waiting time is never wasted time before the Lord. The devil wants to think, the more if you don't care for this problem, it'll get worse. You don't care about this symptom, it'll get worse. You don't care about all this. Now, I'm not saying these are not real problems. We're not saying put your head in the sand like an ostrich. We're just telling you, look at Jesus, and don't look at the waves, and listen to His word. Listen to His word. Listen to His word. One of the best miracles that I know of, the type of miracles in this church, has been unconscious miracles. You know, I love it. And I got time, I'll share with you a testimony real quick. There are people in our church who have like chronic conditions in their body, but because they are so absorbed in a receiving mode from Jesus, they botch up about all these things for a while. They forgot they have a symptom until a few months pass by, and they say, "Hey, I used to have that problem. Where is it?" And that verse in Isaiah comes to pass: "Thou shalt seek for your enemy, and shall find his place no more." We do not know how God did it. It could be during one of the sessions of communion. It could be one of the sessions when I prayed over the people. But we don't care. All we know is the one day you look around and say, "Hey, I used to have that problem. It's no more there. I used to have this bad habit. It's no more binding me. What happened?" That's one of the best miracles. But most people are waiting for the kind of miracle where one moment in time, when they raise their hands, all right, during worship, when they feel a zap from God. Then they say, "It's gone. It's gone." Now, I'm not against that, okay? We have seen that kind of miracle in our church. In fact, today's services, there's a strong anointing. I'm not surprised you go back to your doctor and it says, "Chi kwai." Read your report and say, "Let me check again." And you know what? You will astound him. I'm not surprised. Today's anointing has been the kind of anointing. So I know God can do things immediately. But you know what? Usually when God does things immediately and you know it, it's because you're conscious of it all the time. I think God wants us to be, you know, so absorbed in that receiving mode, keeping ourselves in peace and joy, we're not even worried that the problems are not resolved. Now one day we look back and say, "My goodness, it happened so fast. Where did it go? Where did the problem go?" Now let me be vulnerable. Years ago, when I first learned this principle, I was a single pastor. And I was in my late 20s, and I felt it was not good for a pastor to be single. Now, this is not a law, and all those listening, it's not a law, okay? But it's my own personal conviction for my own life. I think it's not good for a pastor to be single. So I began to make this an objective that year. Alright, I will get married. And I look around in my church, look around anywhere, you got Christian people, alright? And look around. And I began to be focused on that goal, to get married. I must get married, I must get married. And everyone that has come along, all right, I have broken their heart. Not that they broke my heart, okay? I and it didn't work out because I was not right for them. Not that they were not right for me, like, I was not right for them. You never know where this tape is going. So, I was not right for them. I broke their heart, okay? The bottom line is that it all fell out, it didn't work out. Amen. Maybe some of you today, you have this as your goal, to to get married. Maybe the year 2006. Amen. And your national anthem this year is, "I want a man." Amen, amen. "It's raining." No, I'm just kidding. and yeah. Or you want to get married. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. But my life was that the more focused I was on it, the more I messed things up. Amen. And it just didn't work out. It was not successful. Until one day I said to myself, and there was a time God was teaching me all these things, you know, I began to be focused on the Lord in the receiving mode and not worry about dating and shopping around. And you know what happened? God searched all the riches of His heaven and He found a girl called Wendy. What a babe. When she came along, it was a quick thing. Amen? That's it. I'm married to her and still in love with her. Amen. Of all these years. And she's still a babe. Smart one. Those of you who know her. Amen. So I'm telling you, church, the same thing. Whatever it is that you need in life. Later on, our church came to a place. Now, this is my sharing about job success. My job is a pastor. I would say that if my church is not growing for 10 years, it is still 100 plus, 100, 200, 200, 200 plus, I would say that I'm not a success. Okay, that's my definition for my job. But what caused our church to come to a place where today we have more than 10,000 people? Well, some years ago, I remember when I started pastoring, our church was running about nearly 200. We cannot break through that 200 barrier. You can't break through. It's always 200, then come back to 170, 180, then 200, and, you know. And I went to the Lord. I bought books on church growth. I began to pursue all these things. I began to train my leaders. I spent more time with them. I began to focus on each of them. I began to give them personality tests. Are you a high I, low D? Amen. Whatever it is, it takes, you know, to study them, to learn where to place them. I would study, and I found the more I do these things, the more I was not able to break that thing. So I finally, I thought of seeking the Lord. I know none of you do this. So I went to the Lord and said, Lord, how come these things are not working? And the Lord said to me, because you didn't seek me. I didn't want you to do all these things. All the things are outward. They are all outside. The more you focus on the outside, the church won't grow. I say, what do you want me to do, Lord? The Lord says, spend more time with me. Go inside. Retreat. I said, if you retreat, how can you advance? That's why tonight Singapore cannot retreat. Singapore must advance. Must kick as many goals in, you know, at, all right, Bobo also never mind. Just kick, frighten them. Amen. Let the goalie also come out. Amen. Just attack. Everyone attack, attack, attack. Amen. If you're busy attacking, all right, they hardly can attack. Amen. Mark my words. If Singapore defends, they will lose. Amen. If they attack, it's the greatest defense. Amen. So, I said, if we retreat, Lord, if I retreat, how can I advance? The Lord says, that's the world's economy. My economy of things is like this. The more you retreat, the more you advance. So I began to believe that. I just forget everything outside and I move with the Lord inward. I didn't say I retreat without doing anything. I spend time listening to the Lord, spending time with the Lord, and the rest has been history. Amen. Until today, I don't get involved in the administration of the church. Some people, you know, they think that Pastor Prince is not good at management. That's why he has a few managers. Wrong. Honestly, I say this by the grace of God, I'm a very good manager. I can spot things real fast, I can place the right people at the right place and all that, but I don't want to get involved in management. You know why? Because my priority is this. Amen. I know there are some people with different convictions. Amen? They must be the one, the pastor must be the one doing everything. They worship lead. When there's a tsunami thing, they appear. Every big church. And then, before the church starts, they're the one standing down here. Good evening, church. Amen. They are doing everything. When the press wants an interview with the church, they are the ones always, you know, giving the comments. Now, different strokes for different folks. For me, I don't want to play hero. I know where my priority is. If I get involved in all these things, and it's not that I cannot worship lead. Years ago, when our church was smaller, I would worship lead then preach. Amen. I enjoyed myself. In fact, I miss worship leading. Amen. And I have the anointing to bring people into the Holy of Holies. Amen. But I don't worship lead because why? I have great worship leaders today. I don't manage because I have great managers today. I don't do counseling one-on-one because I have great pastors today. Don't waste their salary. For some people, they are working hard, by the way. All right. But there are some people who want Pastor Prince and Pastor Prince alone. Pastor Prince must be the one to pray for me. Pastor Prince must be the one to lay his hands on me. Watch this. You see this? Nothing. No stripe. It was his stripes that healed you, not me. Amen. See these hands? No nail prints. I didn't die for you. Jesus did. Amen. Yes. Any of the pastors can pray for you. If your eye is on Jesus, you will receive. Any care leader can pray for you. If your eye is on Jesus, you receive. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm sharing with you about job success. My job is a pastor. And if you ask for the success, you see, the thing is this, the amazing thing about this church is that people, listen carefully, still queue up. Can you imagine if there's no queue, how big the church would be? And if we have the size and the capacity? In spite of that, against all natural odds, the church is exploding. So I would say by the grace of God, I'm saying this, I would say by the grace of God that I think, all right, you need to hear what I'm sharing. It's not a novice talking to you. I'm telling you how to be a success as a homemaker, a success as a salesperson, a success as a teacher, whatever it is your profession is. You can be a success by retreating with Jesus in the bait chambers. Hallelujah. And listening to His Word. Whether that bait chamber is your car, your study, or as you're jogging, you're listening to the Word. Amen. As long as an inward rest. Amen. Now, I want to share with you, in five verses, in closing, a whole beautiful story that shows you the mind of the Lord. At the same time, shows you the two minds of Christians in the church today. There's one carnal mind and there's one spiritual mind. Which one is yours? Plus, we'll see the mind of the Lord. All right, in five short verses. And many of you are familiar with this story, but we're going to see fresh things. And it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Obviously, the house belonged to Martha, the older sister. And she had a sister called Mary. Now, both sisters loved Jesus. Both. Martha and Mary loved Jesus. And this sister Mary also sat at Jesus' feet. Say, sat. And heard His Word. Say, heard. This is the two things that you must adopt if you want the posture of don't worry about tomorrow, the let go life. This is the two posture that you must adopt if you want to seek first the kingdom of God. The posture is sit. That means what? Inward rest. It is not referring to a physical sitting. Right now you're sitting physically, I know. All right? But you know what? You can be sitting inside while you're jogging, listening to Walkman. You can be driving and still be listening to God's word. I'm not saying it's not a physical posture that's important. Amen. Some of you, you have experienced this before. You write the same page again and again and again. For 10 minutes, you're still on the same page. Why? Because you are worried as you are reading, starting, did I switch off the gas door? How come my child is so quiet next door? What is he doing? How come my husband haven't called yet? You know, all on the same page. And some of you have been there where you sat down with a good novel or Christian book or Bible and you have read so many things and you're absorbing and you feel so much peace and joy because your mind is undistracted. It is not the physical posture, it's the inward rest. So the word sit means, first of all, you must rest. Rest inwardly. Now I'm going to give you a little revelation from the Hebrew word. Every time you see in the Psalms where it says, dwell, dwell, dwell. Like for example, the Psalm of Protection, Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwell there in Hebrew means to sit down. Yashav, which means sit down. He who sits down. That's a posture of rest. You know, David learned this. David, tell us, how come you are such a successful shepherd, then later on a king? He says, well, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell, same word, that I may sit in His presence, in His temple, and to behold His beauty. Amen, amen, church? So, same thing. The most important thing is inward rest. Now, you can be jogging and have an inward rest. Don't worry about anything. Just focus on what you have right now. Listen to the sermon. Listen and listen and feed on it. But make sure the sermons you listen is Christ exalting, grace based, and it releases peace and joy on the inside of you. Amen? And the next thing, hear the word. She heard the word. I said she heard the word. I'm going to tell you something very prophetic. In the second service, I think it was, I said something and I knew that it was the teacher in me, the Holy Spirit, who took over. That's why I'm telling you many a times when I say things, sometimes I need to go and listen to my sermon. And I'm shocked sometimes I say some things. I don't remember trying to say those things. And in the second service, I said this. That's the reason why God released inventions of Walkman years ago, later on, you know, DVDs, now MP3s. You know why? This generation and not an earlier generation. Because the food He's giving in these last days cannot be consumed all in one sitting. Cannot be consumed all in one sitting. The manna He's releasing on the 6 days, double portion. How many of you have had this experience? As you listen to the preaching, like right now, you're listening. Peace and joy flows in your spirit. You listen to some things and you say, you know what, I can live the bochup life. I can live the let go life. Yeah, man, I'm the kind of person. I can, man, I can. Then, you know, I can bochup, man. I can do. I tell you, I'm like, I can bochup, man. Then Monday come and you are chopping everything. For overseas friend, you are taking care for everything. Just the day before, You're such a man of God, such a woman of God. Next day. Why? Because, you know why? You are so strong then? Because the word, you are in a receiving, hearing mode. Even when you don't have faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing. God gives you the faith. Amen. It has pleased God. Don't ask me why. The Bible says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Not foolishness of preachers, huh? It says it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to sozo, to save, to heal, to deliver, to prosper those who listen and believe. It's God's delivery system, His modus operandi, if you would. The way He delivers His blessings is by the foolishness of preaching. That statement always complements my job. Foolishness of preaching. Not foolishness of preachers, I remind you again. Alright, so how do we get into this mode? That's why God, the Japanese never knew what hit them when they produced the Walkman. Came straight from heaven. Amen. Why did God give Walkman with auto reverse? For you to listen to the word again and again and again and again. Amen. How many of you hear the first time and there's love, joy and peace flowing, man, like a river. You feel like, man, I'm telling you, I can tear a lion apart like David. I can ban an iron asunder. Oh, hallelujah, man. Let me go, man, Pastor Prince. Let me go. If you're sick, put your head down here. Come on, put your head down here. Hallelujah. Man, you feel like running into hell with a water pistol. Yeah, and the devils will all be cast out. Amen. Man, you feel that way, right? And then you forgot that it was because God was giving you His word and you became a Samson. You became a David. You became a giant killer. As long as the word was flowing. And then, the next day you try to live on the memory of it. And only a portion is retained. How many of you have bought a tape that spoke to you? And then when you listen to it again, you say to yourself, he said that? I didn't hear it the first time. Did he say that? You ask your wife. Alright? Then you listen to it the third time. When you listen to it the third time, it says, wow! He said something else extra, is it, recently? I didn't realize that. Amen. Then 1 year later, you listen to the same sermon and you say, now I understand. At that time, you thought Pastor Prince was mad. Now you say, man, he's got a revelation. Amen. You will always know you're growing spiritually because you end up loving me more and more and more and more. It's a sign. If you don't like me, it shows, you know, you're not really there yet. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. So church, I really believe all of my heart that God gave these inventions so as to retain. It's not for us to listen to Boyzone and J-Lo. Agili, Agila, Gila, Gila. Amen. I'm not against these things, okay? I'm just telling you that God released this invention so you can hear the word of God again and again and again. You don't like Pastor Prince saying something, rewind him and make him work for you day and night, day and night. Amen. I got no choice. I'll talk. And after I'm finished, you'll make me talk again. Amen. But you know something? It's the word of God. It will change your life. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a man, true story. I forgot what was the condition but that caused the coma, but he was in coma. True story. Then after a few days of being in coma, the relatives came. And they were believers, strong believers. And they said, and they brought a Walkman, auto reverse, with earphones. And they said to the doctor, when I put this, because there's an anointed sermon here, he must listen to the sermon. Alright? Sermon or healing scriptures. And the doctor says, he advised against it or blah, blah, blah. And I told the doctor, what have you done all these days? Can you raise him from the dead? Or from the coma? And he kept quiet. So he allowed them. So the family put earphones in that comatose patient and put on the Walkman on auto reverse. And then periodically they will take turns coming in to change the battery. We do not know how many days it went. But one day, when a nurse was preparing something inside the room, behind her, this guy just stood up. It's like those kind of movies. She just got up with her earphones, everything, and said, hello, completely well, completely healed. She screamed, she ran out, called the doctor. Your outside can be asleep, but your subconscious never sleeps. Your spirit man never sleeps. Amen. And you can even be in a receiving mode in that state. You know, sometimes when the devil attacks our bodies, listen carefully, Some of you, you are in dire straits, especially when you are in dire straits. That means the doctors have said you have this terminal condition or whatever. If the devil is attacking your body 24 hours a day, whack him back by listening 24 hours a day. I'm talking about those in dire straits. Okay? I mean, you cannot just sit down there and watch Zoe Tay or, you know, Kung Fu Hustle. He's not going to hustle the devil out of your life. Amen. I mean, the devil, if that disease is attacking your body 24 hours a day, attack that disease by hearing the word 24 hours a day. Amen. If it's an extreme condition, do things extremely. And you'll be extremely healed. Extremely blessed. But the rest of us, don't wait until some problem happens. Store up the word of God now. Keep on listening like Brother Sydney. Keep on listening. Amen. And you know, when a problem comes, it's just like water off a duck's back. What used to affect you a few years ago does not affect you now today. Because the resources are there on the inside. You're like a fortress built up and built up and built up until that tsunami cannot hit you. From the devil. Amen. Amen, church. Now I want to share with you. Now there are two more verses actually. Five verses. Let's finish off. Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Notice she blamed Jesus and her sister. Actually, she was doing everything because she loved Jesus. How many of you love your children and you end up, you know, nagging at them, worried about them? End up, you put a wedge in your relationship between you and your children. You end up distancing yourself from your children, all because you love your child. But there is a sentimental love that is not healthy, and there is a love of God that is perfectly healthy. God wants you to love them with a no care, no worry attitude. And that's good for you, and that's good for them. Amen? Again, what I'm sharing with you will help you towards that direction. Alright, so she came to Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister," blame the Lord, blame the sister, "has left me alone to serve, therefore tell her to help me." Jesus answered. Now you see the mind of Mary. Look up here. Mary's mind was to sit at Jesus' feet and receive. The sister's mind was what? You see, both of them loved Jesus. But one sister went by her side. She saw that Jesus was tired as someone needing her to give to him. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and saw beneath the weary exterior to a fullness inside as someone to draw from. She gave Jesus a sense of his divine glory. She gave Jesus a feast that Martha can never furnish from her kitchen. Martha forgot that Jesus fed more than 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What's dinner? You know our Asian culture, when Jesus comes to your house, what do? You say, "Chapabe, you want me to, are you here, okay? We make good food for you. I tell you, I can make the best curry chicken. Jesus, you wait here." Now listen carefully. Ladies especially, all right, pardon me for saying this. You can be the best cook. Chapati, curry chicken, Bengawan Solo, Sara Lee cake or whatever. Amen. But you know what? The Lord does not give a rip about these things when it comes to your house. What he wants is that you come to his feet and listen to his word. Amen. And he'll take care of dinner. He'll take care of children. He'll take care of everything. That's what he wants from you. Amen. It does not please the Lord for you to give him food. It pleased the Lord for him to give you. He always delights to take the part of a blesser and a giver. Are you listening? Now, it will delight me. You invite me to your house to eat and all that. It will delight me. Delight Pastor Henry. Delight Pastor Lawrence. Delight all the pastors. We love to eat. But you'll not delight the Lord. Amen. What the Lord wants when you know, it's against our culture. But sometimes, you know what? We'll go against our culture to get uncultural results. Amen. Instead of just results that are just not producing the type of success we want. Have you learned something? So the Lord says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about how many things? Many things. But one thing, say one thing is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the good part which will not be taken away from her. No demon, no deacon can take it from you." Amen. When you determine to listen to his word, I'm telling you, nothing can take it from you. Some of you, you know, when you work, you are so tired, you are so depleted, And you know what you need to do sometimes? Just go for a quick lunch and then go somewhere and pump yourself with the Word of God. Just a little short time, I'm telling you, will be enough nourishment to get you going, man. All of a sudden you go back to your workplace after lunch and you are up and going. It's almost like you had a good nap. I mean, everything is, you know, in gear. Amen. The Lord says one thing is needful. Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. The Lord keeps things simple. Only one thing is needed. Mary chose it. Sit at my feet and hear. Amen. How many believe that this one thing is needed every day? We don't act like we believe that. We think that this thing is needed, that thing is needed, when actually one thing is needed. So learn God's economy, what He values. One thing is needed. Sit at His feet and hear His word. Amen. She's worried about many things. I know many of you are worried about different things every week. The first week you might be worried about children, health, finances. Next week, it's entirely new. It's health, finances, children. Now next month, it is children, health, finances. Amen. And all this merry-go-round that we go through, somewhere along the way, all right, it will take its toll on our bodies, on our minds, on our relationships. We will wear out. Amen. Some of you, I'm speaking prophetically. This is the first service I'm saying this of all the four services. I'm speaking prophetically. I just saw it in the spirit. If there's a spiritual gauge like you would have for your car, you know, E and F for your patrol, I look at your spiritual life and some of you are going empty. And you wait for Sunday to come to go full. Alright? But what is happening is that you're driving your car a lot during the week. Your spiritual car. Alright, taking care of your family, taking care of their, this. And you know what? It goes into empty before you come to church. That's why get things, you know, get patrol cans on standby. Amen. Cassette tapes. VCDs. Amen. Amen. Get these things. Buy the original. Don't bootleg. And for goodness sake, if you are being attacked, spiritually speaking, you're being attacked. Alright, stop spending time buying fake VCDs. And watching them from Malaysia and things like that. One of these days, I'm going to touch on that in Jesus' name. But before I touch on it, I'll make sure that all the front row are cleared first. I got to make sure the front row is all cleared first. You know, this idea of buying things, all right, because it is a copy, it's pirated, and it's for cheap and all that, this is my concern, all right? It gives you a cheap spirit. Amen. It will cheapen your spirit. It will make you feel cheap. Believe God to be able to pay for the original. Don't cheapen your spirit. All right, I'm preaching already. So I'll make sure first my leaders are all flowing with me. And then, all right, one of these weeks, we'll touch on that. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, church, in these days, we got to be at the right place at the right time. I'm going to say amen. You know, if you look at Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, you can say, well, Pastor Prince, she's not doing much well. You know, listen carefully. And there are people who accuse our church, you know, of saying, well, he just teaches, just receive, just listen to God's word, and it's enough. And there are people who preach, well, there are Christians, they come to church, and then they hear God's word, and then they just sit down there and warm the pew, and just listen and warm the pew, and then just listen and warm the pew, and they think that God will do mighty things for them. They are wrong. God does. You know what's the problem with many people that God doesn't do things? They're too busy running around. God wants your heart and your ears before He wants to engage your hands and your feet for His ministry. He wants your ear and your heart. Amen. See, if you look at Mary, just before Jesus died, Jesus went to visit them again. And you know what Mary did? She was the only one that anointed Jesus with a perfume. And that perfume lasted until He rose from the dead. Because on the day He rose from the dead, some ladies came with spices to anoint Jesus. They never got the chance. Until today, Jesus' perfume. Alright? Mary would smell it and she remember. It lasts forever. Because in Psalms it says that His resurrected form carries that perfume. And you know something, church? Mary was the only woman who did the right thing at the right time. You know why? Because she did the right thing at His feet. At the end, you think you're not making progress. Your friends are pursuing this, pursuing that, you know, and you are spending time. You need a husband, but you're spending time in the Lord. And they are going around shopping around. Okay? And it seems like you are the turtle. They are the hare that outruns you. And it seems like you're so slow. But later on, guess who will cross that finishing line? Who will have a blessed marriage? Amen. It's amazing. I can't explain how God does it when we stand still and spend time with Him, but He fights our battles. He puts out all the fires without us. When we look around and say, where's the fire? The fire is gone. All right, I want to share with you two testimonies only, short testimonies, and I'll close about this important truth. The first one is this. Dear Pastor, I have two testimonies to share for the glory of God. Like any other year, my husband, three children, and I plan for our year and holiday. We plan to take 3 weeks holiday this year from mid to end December 04. We plan to go to Penang and Langkawi on the first 2 weeks of December and Phuket on the third week, the fateful week. We had to cancel the Phuket one because my husband didn't have sufficient leave. Some disappointments are God's appointments. As always, the Lord blessed us with a wonderful time in Penang and Langkawi because they were there earlier weeks before the tsunami hit, so there's no problem. We returned from our trip on 19 December. If not, they were supposed to continue to Phuket, isn't it? And they'll be there at that time. The following week, we were shocked to know the killer tidal wave. The two hotels, Penang and Langkawi, we stayed in were by the seaside. We even took a ferry to Langkawi as all flights were fully booked. The road in Penang focused on in the news on TV was the same road we used every day when we were in Penang. Truly, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? So God preserved them from not going to Phuket that week. Now, she also said this on a personal note about her health. Unknowingly, the Lord had healed me of an allergy. I had this allergy to mango fruit, my most favorite, after giving birth to my second child 15 years ago. The allergy would give me rashes all over my lips. It was so bad that I couldn't even eat the dried ones or peel the fruit. I discovered this healing a few days ago when I accidentally ate a mango dessert. Excited about my discovery, I took a fresh mango fruit by faith and hallelujah, not a trace of allergy. From then on, I have been enjoying this heavenly fruit almost every day. Looking back, it could have been one of those services when you prayed for healing that I was healed. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. She didn't even know she was healed. Hallelujah. Amen. As you're busy just enjoying the word of God, one day you look around and you find the place of your enemy and you find him there no more. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another short sharing about the tsunami. Dear Pastor, I want to share with you how our Father has kept my children and I from evil. My husband and I signed up for Israel trip in September 2004. As we are not bringing our children, I plan to send my children over to my parents in Penang for the duration of our trip, which is from 20th to 29th December. May the children be in Penang during that time. Okay? For a couple of months, my mother was looking forward to it. My children were excited about it. However, something kept me brewing over the thought with the Lord, and somehow the Lord did not give me the life to make any flight reservations for them. In the last week of school term, my daughter suddenly got a letter informing of netball training during the year-end holidays. Although my daughter complained over the change in plans, she submitted to it. When we heard and saw the impact of tsunami over the Asian region in Jerusalem on the news, I knew my children are safe in Singapore. The Lord has seen the beginning and the end, and He knows what's best for us. If my children had been in Penang, and knowing them, they love the beautiful beaches in Penang, they might have been out swimming on that fateful Sunday. It saved me a lot of anxiety, praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Would you say at the right place, at the right time? Amen? Amen, church? Amen. And, you know, did I share in this service about the two couples from Sydney's, from Sydney's care group? Okay, what happened was this. I'll close with this. There was a couple also from our church attending Sydney, the guy I was sharing about just now, his care group. And they shared this testimony. That day, on Sunday, they were there in Penang, on that fateful beach. Okay? And they were there just before the tsunami hit, about 11 plus. The tsunami hit Penang at 12:30, different times at different places. Okay? And the wife said she felt like eating. You know where? Mainland, Butterworth. Now, most people want to eat in Penang, isn't it? And Penang, Gurney Drive. right? But she felt like eating in Butterworth. So the family all planned to check out early. So they went to the hotel, packed out all their things, check out everything. And then their car was in the driveway and there was someone behind them, like trying to make them go off or blocking the way for him or whatever. And they said, they looked at him, they felt very impatient with this guy because this guy appeared impatient, telling them, go off, you know. So finally they got all their things loaded in their car, they drove off. About 12:15 they were crossing the causeway to Butterworth. When they hit the other side, later on from the people and all that, they heard a tsunami hit. Their hotel was there. The hotel was hit as well. Just imagine, in the nick of time, God can lead you even through the appetite of your belly. Amen. You feel like eating char kway teow, you know, you are at the right place at the right time. That's the kind of life I want to live. Now don't carry this to extreme and say, every night, you know, jab your husband and say, darling, at 3 a.m., darling, char kway teow, I feel like, you know, right place, right time, darling, every day, right place, right time. All right, don't push it too far, right? Amen. I love that kind of life. Don't worry, don't, and if there's danger up ahead, the Lord will make sure you do the right thing at the right time. There'll be a red light that you stop or whatever and you complain about the red light or not knowing that all the while it's God. By the way, they said the one who shooed them off could have been an angel. Yeah, he was in a hurry to shoot them off. Thank God. Amen. They didn't show any bad signs that, you know, that man or the husband come out and start punching the, I mean, it would be very embarrassing to punch God's angel. Would you think so? So church, that's the kind of life we have this year. Keep things simple. But the devil is trying his best. Listen carefully. Some of you listen to me and you're sitting down there thinking to yourself, well, you know, Pastor Prince, I got many things to do. I'm too busy. I'm blah, blah, blah. Then you will go on in your overtime mode and never have the kind of victory. Like our brother Sydney, having a new business, new shop. You'll never come to that place. You never. You believe you got to work overtime, you will always be working overtime. You believe you got to, Pastor, I'm too busy. You'll always be too busy. All right? You got to fight for the time. Fight it for your life. Fight it for your family. Fight it for the victory that God wants to accomplish in your life. Amen? Don't have to wait for everything to be perfect. Just go and listen to God's word. Amen? Get the tapes. Listen to it. Amen? Every day. If a day passes by and you're too busy that day, don't condemn yourself, you didn't spend time, it's okay. But make sure it is not going on for weeks, you're not spending time. You cannot afford that. If here and there you miss it, it's okay. Don't condemn yourself. But get back to it again if you can. Amen. Because there's no point having this hunger. One of these days, I'll listen, Lord. One of these days. One of these days, Lord. One of these days. And finally, God says, today, how about today? You're in heaven. What today? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes, all across this place.